Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I'm always blessed, and it's up to me to remind myself and to speak that. If you ever ask me how I am, I'm going to tell you I'm blessed. And I've had times when people have come up and said, "No, I want to know how you really are." And I say, "I'm really blessed." Amen. "No, I want to know how you feel." And I said, "I don't care how I feel. This is what the Word of God says. And I base my life on what God's Word says and not what I feel." And I know some of you think, "You are weird." I think you're weird. I think you're weird to have one-third of you wall-to-wall Holy Ghost, one-third of you identical to Jesus, and you'd be sitting there sucking your thumb talking about how bad life is and wondering about how you could ever make it, and you're afraid of the economy and you're afraid of what's going to happen as if God doesn't live on the inside of you. That's weird. You don't have a revelation of who you are in Christ. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you need to see that God has changed us. When you got born again, it's not just you ascribing to some doctrine and that's the only difference between you and a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist or anybody else. No, you became God-possessed. You got changed. You became a new creature. God moved on the inside of you. God literally lives on the inside of you. And He's not there in just seed form. And some people have grown and developed strong and other. No, when God comes in, He's full grown. Your spirit is as mature, as holy, as powerful, as anointed as Jesus is. Under the old covenant, see, there was nothing like this. The Holy Spirit would come upon people and touch them, but He would come and go. And that's the reason that Elijah had a certain portion of the Spirit, but Elisha came along and got a double portion. And in Pentecostal churches, I've been in Pentecostal churches where they have double portion night. And come forward and we're going to lay hands on you and they're going to take this special oil that they got from Israel and they're going to pour it over you and you're going to get a double portion of the Holy Spirit. That can't happen in the new covenant because of His fullness have all we received in grace upon grace. That's John chapter 1, verse 16 or 17. You've got the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in you bodily. They didn't have the fullness. So you could get twice of a portion, but you can't get twice of everything. You have the fullness of God. You can't get more of God. You can't get a double portion of the Holy Spirit. You can't get a greater anointing. You can release a greater anointing. You could use more of what you've got. But it's not your spirit that's growing and developed. It's not God that's giving you more power and more anointing. You've already got everything. The problem is this little peanut brain doesn't know what we've got. And as we renew our mind, we can release more of God. We can flow in more of the Holy Spirit. We can release more power and anointing. But you can't get any more power and anointing. There's a major difference here. It changed my life when I realized that, "God, I don't need more of you. You need more of me. You need me to be more yielded and submitted, my mind to be more renewed." But man, when I realized that I've got the power of God on the inside of me, it made a difference in my attitude. Instead of me approaching my problems as, "Oh God, I'm powerless. Oh God, there's nothing I can do. God, if you don't do a miracle, we're dead in the water." And you start begging and pleading with God and coming emotionally like, "God, wouldn't you please move?" And you start begging God. You know what that's saying? That's saying that you're powerless. "God, the doctor says I'm going to die. There's nothing I can do about it. Would you please move?" You've already gotten in unbelief. You've already denied. You aren't approaching God in the Spirit. You aren't coming in who you are in Christ. If you were thinking about who you are in Christ, you'd look at cancer and laugh. No big deal. No big deal. Man, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I've got the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living on the inside of me. Why should I be afraid of cancer or AIDS or anything else? Man, that's powerful. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Are you still in the book of Ephesians? In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul begins to pray a prayer. If you were praying a prayer that was going to be read 2,000 years in the future, what would your prayer be like? I can tell you what most Christians' prayers would be like, because I've heard a lot of Christians pray. And it'd be like, oh God, pour out your spirit. Oh God, move. Oh God, do a new thing. Oh God, just move by your power. Oh God, touch these people. Oh God, send revival. It would all be pleading with God to do something. Here's how Paul prayed. He says, Lord, open their eyes to what they already have. Show them what they've got. Help them to realize that they have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. He didn't pray and ask God to give them anything new except a revelation of what they already had.
Amen.
Totally different. Most Christians are approaching God as a loser, as a beggar, as defeated. I'm powerless. Oh God, this cancer is bigger than me. This finances is bigger than me. This problem is bigger than me. God, I can do nothing. Would you please move? The truth is that God has placed Himself on the inside of you in all of His power and authority, and you need to start by humbling yourself and saying, I can do all things through Christ. I've got the same power in me that raised Christ from the dead, and you've got to take your authority and approach that thing like a winner instead of a loser. You got to start walking in the Spirit instead of in the flesh. So he prayed here in the 14th verse of the first chapter. Or let's go down to verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. All he's praying is that they'd get revelation, wisdom about what God has already done. In verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. He's praying that you would get a revelation of the power that you've got, the exceeding greatness of His power. According to, the word according to means in proportion to, or to the degree of the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ. He's saying, God, open up their eyes and let them see that they have the same power that you released when you raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You've already got that power. And yet we approach God as, oh God, I'm powerless. God says, you've got the same power that raised Christ from the dead. You're saying, I don't have any power. God, we're looking unto you. Somebody's wrong. And it's us. It's not God. We go back to Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles chapter 20, where the armies came against him and he assembled all the people and he said, Lord, our eyes are unto you, for we have no power against this great host. And we quote that. And there are great things to learn from that in the sense that he turned to God and depended upon God. But it's different in our day. Jehoshaphat didn't have any power. We do have power. And for you to say, oh God, we have no power against cancer. We have no power against this financial thing. Oh God, there's nothing we can do. It's wrong for you to say that because you have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling on the inside of you. And it's wrong for you to approach it as if you have no power and you just need a miracle from God. God's already put that miracle on the inside of you. You've already got the power of God. You know, the church that we go to, they have this big Easter celebration. It's like a 10,000 member church and they put on these major deals. And they, anyway, it's a long story, but when Jesus, you know, was being tempted on the mount, they had a person that personified Satan. And he came and acted like Satan and tempted Jesus. And then every time that the crowd was yelling at Jesus, this same person dressed in black was always there. And it was showing you that Satan was inspiring a lot of these criticisms and things. And then when Jesus was raised from the dead, they had this tomb and they had this big rock and they had this huge explosion that you could feel and all of this smoke and these lights and everything. And then when the smoke cleared away, they had Satan standing there pushing on the stone, trying to stop the resurrection. And then this huge explosion and all this smoke. And when the smoke cleared, here was the devil laying on his back. The stone was on top of him and Jesus was standing on top of the stone. I like that. And my point is that the power it took to raise Jesus from the dead was more than the power that it took to create the worlds. There wasn't a devil that was withstanding the creation of the world. There was no opposing force. But at the resurrection of Jesus, Satan had the entire force, all of his power against that, and yet they couldn't keep Jesus being raised from the dead. So raising Jesus from the dead is the greatest manifestation of the power of God that the world has ever seen, and yet you have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. It's not out there that you've got to pray down. And this has developed all kinds of doctrines that the demons are blocking our prayers from getting through to God. And we've got to clear a hole over Raleigh, Durham so that our prayers can get up to God. We've got to have a clear heaven. I was just at a meeting over in Belgium where they were trying to get a clear heaven. And it's just silly. Somebody, oh. In Daniel chapter 10, there was the prince of Persia power that was blocking the prayers and that there was this war going on. But that was in the old covenant. Before God moved to earth. God isn't out there. Your prayers aren't trying to get past these demons through the heavenly places. God lives right here. The Bible says in your belly is where the Spirit flows from, John chapter 7. Some of you look like you got more of the Spirit than others, but you don't. God's right here. This is why you bow your head when you pray. You say, Father. This whole thing of, man, your prayers didn't get above the ceiling. You don't need your prayers to get above the nose.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The 4th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 4th teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to thank all of you who are partners with this ministry. You know, we are sharing things that are changing people's lives. We are having a huge response. We have over 35,000 contacts per month, and that's not including our website, which averages over 15,000 contacts per day. We're reaching a lot of people. People's lives are being changed, and I couldn't do that if it wasn't for those of you who are partners with us. So I want to thank you, and I just want to mention to the rest of you, if you are being blessed, if you recognize the potential blessing that this could be to other people, would you help us to reach out with the gospel? We need to increase our outreach. We've got opportunities, more opportunities, and we've got finances. So pray about it and then become a partner with us today.